We are on Daf Tzadi Zayin Amud Beis, and we're up to the two dots, which are parallel to Tosfos Divrei HaMashchil Hacha. And Rabbi Yehuda Omer, this is a quote from the Mishnah, Nosein Adam Chavis Lechavero, Vechavero Lechavero, and you have a Chavis, that's chutz l'tchum, and you're allowed to pass it on from one person to the other in a row of people. And the Gemara now has to figure out why there's no violation of the Issa Tchumin if he's carrying this Chavis into the Tchum from outside the Tchum by simply passing it from one person to the other. Why would Rabbi Yehuda allow this? V'lesle l'Rabbi Yehuda Hadisnan, we have a mission at the end of Masechta Beitza with regard to Issa Tchumin. Habehema v'akelim kiragli haba'alim. In other words, just like you are limited by a certain Tchum of Shabbos, so too your animals and your utensils are limited by the same Tchum of Shabbos. So if you want to know how you can get a kli or an animal, a kli from one location to the other, let's say, for example, an animal on Yontif, or even certain kalim that you would use for Shechita on Yontif, it matters not. But if you're asking how far you can take these kalim, the answer is Kiragli Aba'alim. It all depends upon what is the circumference of area that the Balim themselves are allowed to take. They're allowed to be molech from one makom to the other. So therefore, since the din of the Baim and the Kalim is equivalent, is identical to the din of the Bailim, so let's say, for example, the Bailim set up their Erev Tchumen to the east. I'm just giving an example. And somebody else borrows those Kalim, and he wants to go towards the west, or the other way around. It's awesome, because Habeim v'Kalim Kiragli Aba'alim, you're not allowed to take the Kalim outside of their Tchum. And the Tchum of the Kalim depends upon the Tchum of the Bailim. We'll see later on about an object of Hefker, what happens with that. But now we're talking about an object that's owned, and Rabbi Yehuda is allowing you to take your Chavis and pass it on to someone else, and it's outside of your Tchum. How could Rabbi Yehuda possibly say that by giving the Chavis from one person and passing it on to the other person, you're allowed to take it Chutz l'Tchum? The laws of Tchum apply not only to human beings, and not only is a human being limited in how far he can go on Shabbos by the Tchum where he is Konish Shvisa on Erev Shabbos with the onset of Banish Moshos, but also his Kalim are likewise limited by that Tchum where he was Konish Shvisa. How could Rabbi Yehuda therefore allow this, passing on from one person to the other and take the object Chutz l'Tchum? Does he deny the Mishnah of Habehema Vakelim Kiragli Habehema Kiragli Habailim Amareish Lakish Mishum Levi Sava Hachavai Askinan Bima'aron Mechavis L'chavis? What he's doing is he is not carrying or causing the relocation of the Chavis. The Chavis stays exactly in the Tchum Kiragli Aba'alim, but the content of the Chavis, he's got water inside the Chavis, and he's pouring the water from his Chavis, we'll call him Ruvain, into Shimon's Chavis. And at the end of the day, the water is going to be taken outside the Tchum of the Chavis Rishona of Ruvain. But the chavios themselves are not being taken outside of the tchum. So let's say, for example, if the second fellow to my right, let's say if I'm Reuven, right? So I'm pouring my water from my chavis into Shimon's chavis. And Shimon has, let's say, a shvisa on that side. We'll call it the Mairev side. I have my Shvisa on the Mizrach side. so that even though the water is going outside my tchum, because I put it into Shimon's chavis, which is on the western side, on the Meirav side, but it doesn't matter, because the law of Kiragle Ba'alam applies only to the chavis and not to the Meirav. You and I would have said, if not for Rabbi Yehuda, that the Mayim themselves are going chutz l'tchum. And just like there's a halacha of being kona shvisa vis-a-vis the kelim, there's a similar halacha vis-a-vis the Mayim. So how can you allow the Mayim going outside of the tchum by pouring it from Reuven's chavis into Shimon's? Reuven is on the Mizrach and Shimon has the tchum on the Meirav. So Reish Lakish says, Rabbi Yehuda l'tamei. And Rabbi Yehuda allows this procedure, and the water is not bound and limited by its Ragle Ba'alim, the Omar, because Rabbi Yehuda maintains that Mayim ain b'hem mamish, that water is not considered chashuv to be kona shvisa in the place, in the circumference of area of the Ba'al Marishonim, meaning of Reuven, but rather anyone could take the water and bring it kiraglov, and the water and its location is not bound by the Ragli Abaylim. So even though the water is now being poured from Reuven, his chavis, into the chavis of Shimon, and it's now leaving the tchum of Reuven, because this is Reuven's water, and he was kona shvisa on that side, how could you therefore take out the water to the other side? The answer is because Mayim ein b'hem mamish. This is the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. And we'll have to see that why the Chachamim rejected and why Rabbi Yehuda insisted that Mayim Ein Lehem Mamish, Ein Lehem Mamish. So once again, just to summarize, the Gemara in the name of Reish Lakish to interpret Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah is establishing that although Kalim and Behemos, which are Yesh Behem Mamish, they have a certain Chashivus to them, they are limited to Ragle Abaylim, but Mayim has no chashivus, and therefore it's not limited to Ragli Ba'alim. Hence, Rabbi Yehuda allows you to pour the water from one chavis to another, and that chavis to the other, and it goes chutz l'tchum. And the reason for that is because Mayim Shein Ben Mamish, and the Mayim is not limited in by the original shvisa of the Ba'alim. Where does this come from? So again, we go back to the mission at the end of Beitzah. And the Mishnah there establishes a case where a woman lends Mayim to another woman on Yontif for the purpose of making a dough or to add the water into a tavshil. So we now have Rachel and Leah. And Rachel is lending Leah a liter of water, or an amount of water, whatever the amount is, that Leah needs to make her dough, or to bake, or to cook her food. And now, Leah will call Leah the Sho'eles, because Rachel is the Mash'ilah. So Leah the Sho'eles is allowed to take this Esau, this dough, which has the water of Rachel in it, or for that matter, the Tavshil, that has the water of Rachel in it, and she's allowed to take it with her wherever she's allowed to go, which is an entirely different tchum and a different direction. And that's Rabbi Yehuda Shita, Rabbi Yehuda Poter B'mayim. Poter means lo chal aleihem isur tchumin. There's no isur tchum of ke raglei haba'alim with regard to mayim. Why? So Rabbi Yehuda spells it out in the Mishnah in Beitzah, and he says v'neisha Mayim ein b'hem mamish, that Mayim are not kona shvisa etzal abaylim, and they're not there's no prohibition of being molich the isa or the tavshil chutz l'tchum shel abaylim, because Mayim ein b'hem mamish, right, the ingredients that made up this isa, other than the water or the tavshil, other than the water, are those of Leah. So Leah is allowed to take this tavshil, well, this Isa, this dough, wherever she wants, as long as she's within her Kenyan Shvi, so that's what she's allowed to go. And the the Isa is Kiraglia Bailim, meaning the Bailim here of Leah the Shoeles. It's Chutz L'Tchum of the original Bailim of the water. The answer is Kismayim She'ein Lehem Mamish. Now the Chachamim disagree with Rabbi Yehuda, and they say in the Mishnah that also lahotzi es hachavis michutz l'tchum, you cannot take the chavis out of the tchum of the bailim. And the Gemara says that according to our interpretation of Rabbi Yehuda, that we're talking about a case of pouring the water from one chavis to the next chavis, is my, what do the Chachamim mean when they say Shalot HaHalech Zu? The word Zu is in feminine, in Lashon Nekeva. And Rabbi Yehuda never questioned the premise that you're not allowed to take the Chavis, which is in Lashon Nekeva, beyond the Ragli HaBailin. The way we're interpreting Rabbi Yehuda, he only allowed you to pour the water from one chavis to the next chavis, but as far as the chavis is concerned, so when the Rabbanan stood up and rejected Rabbi Yehuda, why did they say lo tahalech zu? What do you mean lo tahalech zu? Of course lo tahalech zu. That's a given. Even according to Rabbi Yehuda, lo tahalech zu, you can't take this chavis beyond the Raglei Behema. And the Gemara seems to apply now that it cannot be that Rabbi Yehuda is talking about a case where he's pouring the water out from one chavis to the other, because then the language of the Chachamim should have been Shelo Tahalech Zeh, meaning that they would disagree as far as Mayim is concerned, because they never accepted the principle that underlies Rabbi Yehuda, namely Mayim Shem Be'er Mamish. So the Gemara answers, no, Shelo Yahalich Mashebazu Yosemi Ragli Habalim. We have to add one word to the interpretation, the meaning of the Chachamim, and that is the word Ma. So it's not Lo Talich Zu, referring to the Chavis, which is Lashon Nekeva, because even Rabbi Yehuda would agree Shelo Yahalich Zu, but rather the Chachamim disagreeing with Mashebazu, meaning the water that's inside the Chavis, because that water that's inside the chavis cannot be transported outside of the tchum of the owner of the mayim. So, for example, in the Mishnah in Beitza that we mentioned before, and Isha Shola Mechavrata Biyantiv Mayim Kedei Lahosif Letavshil Ole Isa. So she borrowed, let's say Leah borrowed water from Rachel, and it's on Yontif, she's using the water to create an Isa or a Tavshil. Now the din of that Isa, the Tavshil, is Osolo Licho. She cannot carry that Tavshil. Where? Well, here's the deal. We're going now according to Chachamim. And look at the language of the Chachamim. The Chachamim said, Yosef Miragli HaBa'olim. Ba'olim is in plural. So imagine on both sides two circles, right, that overlap. One circle represents Raglei Rachel, that's where she was Kona Shvisa, and that's her Tchum of Shabbos, or in this case, Yontif. The other circle represents the Tchum of Leah. So that when Leah now borrows water to use for her Isa or her Tavshil, is Lo Tahalech Mashe Bazu, Yosef Miragli HaBa'olin. She would be only allowed to carry this Isa, or the Tavshil, within the area that overlaps between both Raglei Rachel and Raglei Leah. Why? Because the Chacham hold that Mayim Yesh Mayim Mamish. So what we have here is a partnership in the Isa or the Tavshil of both Rachel and Leah. Rachel owns the Mayim element in this Tavshil, or in this Isa, and Leah owns the balance of the Tavshil or the Isa. is then the din of this isa, this tavshil, is also lo licho according to the chachamim. Elo lemakom sheshtei anoshim mutaros lo leches, meaning the overlap between these two circles, which is kiragli ha-ba'alim, both ba'alim, and that would be true for any case of partnership. And the reason for that is because both Rachel and Leah own a partnership, a chelik in the isa or the tavshil. Because the Chacham hold that Mayim Yesh Behem Mamish. Comes along Rabbi Yehuda, and he says, no. He says, Leah is allowed to carry this Esau, the Tavshil, anywhere within her Tchum, which goes way beyond the Tchum, going over to the Marav of Rachel. And the reason for that is because Mayim Yesh Behem Mamish. So the Gemara is not happy about this. Amar Deshamet Leila Rabbi Yehuda. You want to prove that Rabbi Yehuda, the Mishnah in Beitza, holds Mayim Sheim Behem Mamish, and that's why Leah is allowed to carry the Esau or the Tavshil beyond the Tchum of Rachel, as long as it's Kirag Leha, because Mayim is completely null and void, Ein Bo Mamish. And based on that, you want to say that I can carry mortar, Chutz L'Tchum, by pouring it into your Chavis, because even though your Chavis is now Chutz L'Tchum, or the next guy. But nevertheless, Mayim Ein Behem Mamish, as long as I don't move the Kalim, which are Karagli Abaylim, says the Gemara, what proof do you have from Rabbi Yehuda, the Mishnah in Beitza? There's no analogy from that Mishnah. Eimer Deshamet Leila Rabbi Yehuda, when does Rabbi Yehuda hold Mayim Ein Behem Mamish? That's Hecha de Belion Beisa. That's only in the case of Bolua, not in the case of Be'en. Right? We always distinguish between something that is absorbed in something else and can no longer be seen. It's not Nikar. Like, for example, in Yoredeh, we talk about the laws of Bittul. If it's not Nikar, then we could apply Bittul. I'm just using that as an analogy. I'm not using it as an analogy. Just Lasabras Ozen. So now you have water that's totally absorbed in the dough. You cannot point to the dough and say, there's the water, or the Tavshil. Is Aval Hecha de Isnu Beinayu, in the case of our Mishnah, where a person has Mayim in a Chavis, and he wants to pour off that water, and the water is now going to go Chutz L'Tchum, and you're going to say Mayim Ein Behem Mamish, Mishametle? That's called Be'en. If the Mayim is Be'en, Rabbi Yehuda never applied the principle of Mayim Ein Behem Mamish. And I'll prove it to you, says the Gemara. Hashda b'kedera omar Rabbi Yehuda lo batle. Gemara says the following, that in a case of a kedera, Rabbi Yehuda says that the water is not batel. Again, we're going to get to that a little bit later on. We haven't yet gotten to the sugya of kedera. And the mayim is not considered batel in a kedera. Is beinayu batle? You're going to tell me that in a case where it's Be'en and he has water in a Chavis, it's not even in a Kedera, we'll see the difference in a minute, that it's Batel and the water is Keman the Lesser Dummy and we don't care about the water and it's not limited to the Raglei Abaylim? We must assume, therefore, that Rabbi Yehuda never said Mayim Shein Behem Mamish. The only Mayim Shein Behem Mamish that you heard from the mouth of Rabbi Yehuda was only in the case of an Isa V'Tavshil. But not in the case of a Kedera, and how much more so not in the case of Be'en? And this is a rejection of Reish Lakish in the name of Levi Sava, who says that our Mishnah, in which Rabbi Yehuda allows you to pass on the Chavis from one person to the other, he's talking about pouring the water, reflecting his own Shita, Rabbi Yehuda's Shita in Beitza, that Mayim Shein Behem Mamish, that cannot be the acceptable pshat in Rabbi Yehuda. We're going to have to find an alternative pshat in Rabbi Yehuda. And now the Gemara is going to illustrate that Rabbi Yehuda, in a case of a kedera, holds that the mayim is not batel. The sanya we learned to the brayso of Rabbi Yehuda, omer mayim v'melach betelim be'isa. If you have mayim or salt that were added to a dough, then you can't see the water, it's not nikar, you don't see the salt, and therefore the halacha of the status of the dough is that you're allowed to take it on Yontif even to a place where the, you know, where the Balas, you know, you can only go as far as the Balas Isa, but even beyond the original owner of the Mayim, because that's a case of Batel B'Isa, where the water or the salt was added to a dough and it's not Nika. But, says Rabbi Yehuda in the Braisa, the Ein, meaning Mayim Melech, Ein Mayim Melech B'Telim B'Kedera. If you have a pot and you're cooking meat or whatever you're cooking in a pot, and you add liquids, you add water to the pot, or alternatively you add salt to the pot, then if, let's say for example, there's Rachel and Leah, so Rachel owns the water or the melach, and she pours the water or the melach into the kedera of Leah, then Leah is only allowed to carry this kedera as far as Rachel would be allowed to carry the kedera, nay, rotva, because there's a rotev, there's a gravy in the cooking of the meat in the kedera, and you could look at the gravy and point out there's the water and there's the salt. It's in the gravy. Everything's in the gravy. So the rotav, which has an amazing amount of 90% of the rotav is mayim, and it's nikar b'kedera. Therefore, if Rachel will lend mayim to her neighbor Leah in order to pour the water into a kedera, then the kedera is going to be karagle shtehem. In other words, you can't bring it, this kedera, beyond the overlap of the two circles, because if you go too far to the east, then it's beyond the tchum of Leah. If you go too far to the west, it's beyond the tchum of Rachel. And we see clearly from this braisa that Rabbi Yehuda holds mayim yesh b'hem mamish, as long as it's nikar, in the case of a kedera. How much more so in our Mishnah, where there's mayim in a chavis, you can't accept Reish Lakish's explanation of Rabbi Yehuda that you're allowed to pour out the water and it goes chutz l'tchum of the bailim, because mayim ein lehem mamish, that's mayim be'en. If Rabbi Yehuda holds in mayim in a kedera that you can't go beyond the tchum, and rather we're going to apply the principle of Kiragli Abalim as a limitation, how much more so he's going to limit it in the case of Mayim Be'en? And at this juncture, the Gemara has to find a new explanation, an alternative shot in Rabbi Yehuda and Mishnah. How did Rabbi Yehuda permit being metaltil the Mayim Chutz L'Tchum? And the answer is bechavis shekonsa elamarava hacha bechavis shekonsa shvisa umayim shelo konu shvisa askina. So we're talking about a case where the chavis was konu shvisa for the bailim, and when he passes from one person to the other, and it's going chutz l'tchum, is the mayim themselves were not konu shvisa. Now, what does that mean? That means that on Shabbos itself, he filled up his chavis with mayim from the river or from a spring. And therefore, we don't go back to Erev Shabbos, Bein HaShmoshos, and ask, well, where was this mayim kona shvisa? If the mayim were in the chavis on Erev Shabbos, Bein HaShmoshos, then Kiragli HaBailim, we would not be allowed to pass on this water Chutz L'Tchum, because the water was Kona Shvisa on Erev Shabbos, Kiragli HaBailim. But we're talking about a case where he filled up the water today on Shabbos from a source of water, and therefore, even though he's not allowed to take the Chavis out of the Tchum, because the Chavis unto itself was Kona Shvisa, like the Ragli HaBailim, but nevertheless, if the Chavis is full of Mayim, then guess what? Now we're going min HaKotza el HaKotza. Until now, we've been saying that the Mayim is Batel, and that was the interpretation of Reish Lakish, of Rabbi Yehuda. Now we're turning it upside down. min akotze el akotze. The chavis is butter. And now according to Rava, Rabbi Yehuda is going to permit passing the chavis from hand to hand, chutz l'tchum, because the chavis is butter. To what is the chavis butter? To the mayim. That's what I call min akotze el akotze. Now, why is the chavis batel to the mayim? So for this, we have to remind ourselves of a gemara that we learned in Masechta Shabbos not that long ago, and I assume you'll all remember this. And the gemara talks about carrying a corpse in a mita, in a bed, from Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRabim, or vice versa. Or, for example, you have foodstuff that is being carried by a utensil. Could be that the foodstuff is worth 10, the utensil might be worth 100, but it doesn't matter. The utensil is batel to the food that it's carrying. Why? Because he's not really interested in carrying the utensil. He's only using the utensil to carry the food, the substance, the content of that utensil. And the utensil is now batel to the food that's inside the utensil. And there could be various nafkaminas. Let's say, for example, if he doesn't have a shear of hotzah in the food, can you be mitzarif the kli? Or, for example, let's say he was a shogeg on the food, but he was amazed on the kli, etc. A whole host of different scenarios. And and also the question of how many chatos he'd have to bring. Does he need a separate chatos on the kli? And the answer is no. He's not chayef hotzah on the kli, or on the mita, because the kli is only functioning as a conduit in order to transport one object from place to place, whatever the object that's inside the kli. And that principle in Masechta Shabbos is going to shed a whole new light on Rabbi Yehuda and our Mishnah with a very important nafkamina. So again, let's say you had an empty chavis. Rabbi Yehuda would obviously prohibit passing on the chavis from Reuven to Shimon if you're going over the border of the tchum. So let's say Reuven's tchum is on the eastern side, and that's the maximum area that he's allowed to travel into, and now he passes the chavis over to Shimon, who's on the western side. That for sure would be prohibited, because the chavis stands on its own. It's an empty chavis, and he's transporting the chavis. The chavis is not bought. But here, we're talking about a chavis in our Mishnah that's full of water. And here, Rabbi Yehuda is going to allow you to transport the chavis with its water from Reuven to Shimon, leaving the tchum of Reuven. Why? Because since the water was not kona shvisa, and that's because he filled up the chavis on Shabbos from a river or a spring, so it wasn't that there was water in the chavis on Erev Shabbos that was limited to the Kinyan Shvisa of Erev Shabbos. Therefore, as far as the water is concerned, he's allowed to carry the water anywhere. The water is not limited to any place. Again, this is going to touch on the whole issue of Hefker that I hinted at before. Let's say there's no owner to an object, and somebody during the course of Shabbos acquires ownership, is there a din of Keragle Abaylim? Or do we say that no, since on Erev Shabbos there was no Keragle Abaylim, it was Hefker. So here's talking about a case where there was no Keragle Abaylim vis-a-vis this water on Erev Shabbos. And therefore he can carry the water wherever he goes. He's now allowed to carry, according to Rabbi Yehuda, even the Chavis and take it out of the Tchum. Debot lo Chavis l'gabi mayim. The chavis is considered tfela to the mayim. That's counterintuitive. How can you tell me that the chavis is tfela to the mayim? Kidisnan, like the Mishnah in Masechta Shabbos, with regard to Meleches Hotzah, Hamotzi, if a person carries from Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRabim, Chai, and it's in a mita, so he's got a live person. And we have a principle called Hachai Noseis Atzma. So if this chai is mature enough, he's old enough to walk on his own, with his own 2 feet, and the chai is being carried now from Rishus HaYochid out to Rishus HaRav or vice versa on a mita, on a bed, potter. Now wait a second, I understand why he's potter for carrying the chai, because chai knows his atzmo, but the mita is not a chai. And the answer is potter afal mita mipnesha mita tfeilo lo. The mita loses its status, it doesn't have a chashivus, and the hotzah does not relate or can be generated as a chiv hotzah from the mita, because the mita is tfeila, because what's the purpose of carrying the mita? To transport the chai that's on the mita. So since it's functioning as a conduit to the chai, it doesn't have its own status. And similarly, a motzi, if he takes from Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRav, ochlim, pachos mikashir, and these ochlim are in a kli. Now, the kli itself has a shear of meleches hotzah, nevertheless, he's potter. Why? Just like we said, he's potter in the case of the chai that's being carried by the mita, because the chai is no seyas atzmo. He's going to be potter for carrying the ochlim, because the ochlim have less than a shear, less than a grogeris, or whatever the shear might be. And even though he's carrying the kli, and if the kli would have been empty, and he was transporting the kli from Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRav, he'd be chayav achatos, here he's potur. Not only is he potur for carrying the ochlin because it's less than a shear, but he's even potur afal kli, mipnei shakli tofelo. The kli is considered tofel to the ochlin because the kli is only being a conduit, as we said before, to carry the ochlin. So to an Amishnah, the reason that he's carrying chutz l'tchum is not because of the chavis. He only needs the chavis in order to transport the mayim that's in the chavis. Is therefore the chavis is betela l'mayim, and he's allowed to carry it chutz l'tchum. In other words, now the limitations of the chavis are determined by the mayim. And the mayim he's allowed to carry anywhere because the mayim was not kona shvisa on Erev Shabbos. That's according to Rabbi Yehuda. Rashi wants to know, what about the Chachamim? They disagree with Rabbi Yehuda. And the question is, why don't they allow, like Rabbi Yehuda, lochas achavis, beyond ragle habaylim, chutz l'tchum, and apply this principle of bittel? Presumably, the Chachamim would accept the Mishnah in Meleches Hotzah and activate the principle of Bittel. The Mita is Batel to the Chai. The Kli is Batel to the Ochlim. So too, the Chavis should be Betela to the Mayim. And the Mayim don't have a Kinyan Shvisa. So Rashi says, no. That according to the Chachamim, you're not allowed to carry the Chavis Chutz mi Raglei Abehema beyond the Tchum. You are limited by Raglei Abaylim. And the reason for that is that the Chavis was Kona Shvisa on Erev Shabbos, despite the fact that the Mayim were not Kona Shvisa, and the Chavis is not Batel to the Mayim. But Rashi doesn't give us a clue, and this is the Kasha of the Rashba, in the name of the Ravid, is Kevin Shah Mishnah Bishabis, Ehotzi Ochlin Bikli, Potu Afala Kli, Kevin Shah Kli, Botali Ochlin, Velo Nechliku Shom Chachom Malkach. Chachom never rejected that principle. Is him Kain, my time on Shal Chachomim Kan, Shachol Kaviom Shain Laholich Sachovis Yosemi Ragla Behema. But me Yesh Chiluk Bidin Bein Amayim, Lebein Ochel Shebekli. To the same extent that we say the ochel and the kli is batel the ochel, we should say that the kli is batel to the mayim, my nafkimina. Now, before we see the answer to the Ravid, you know, if you know my shtick, I like to come up with my own answers. I thought that perhaps the distinction could be in Hilchas Meleches Machsheves, meaning that in Shabbos, in terms of Melacha Shabbos, forget about Tchum, I'll talk about Chutz L'Tchum in a minute, but when we talk about Meleches Shabbos, there's Halacha of Meleches Machsheves, and all of Halacha, all of the labors and the categories of Chiyuvim of Shabbos depend upon, they're built on this pedestal, which is called Kavana Meleches Machsheves, what was your Machshava? And here the Machshava will determine whether his otzah was achieved and implemented for the purpose of transporting the kli, or for the transporting the ochel that's in the kli, the chai or the mita. So that the maisa hotzah as a molacha in Hilchos Shabbos will be determined by the ochel and not the kli, because he's not in the least bit interested in transporting the kli. Again, if Lu Yitzur, he could take the ochlin, and he had a magic carpet, you know, that would carry the ochlin, that would be fine. He doesn't need the kli. And we have similar halachas beyond the confines of Shabbos, but only when kavana determines. For example, in Tumah. Right, so you have halach of Tumas Kalim. So the halach of Tumas Kalim very much depends upon his machshava. And for example, if he decides that the kli is not manufactured totally, it's not completed, but he decides that he wants to use the kli, even though it's still, for you and I, it might be considered a raw material, it is considered a kli because of his machshava. Well, for example, you know, the famous tshuva of Shlomo Zalman Aruch about mayonnaise jars. You know, you have a mayonnaise jar that's made out of glass. So, I hope I'm not embarrassing myself by telling you that if you open up my closet here in the kitchen, you'll see lots of mayonnaise jars. It's like in my childhood, it was the yahrzeit glesselach, you know. So, how do we use all these glasses? I mean, again, should we empty out the mayonnaise and take the glass to the mikveh and be tovelit? I mean, it was made by Hellman's, at least I know they're in Chutz Laaretz. I don't know where exactly, but probably in mid-America somewhere. But it's produced and manufactured by Goy. So it needs tefillas kalim. So Reb Shlomo Zalman Aruch says, name. His machshava is not on the mayonnaise jar. You know, he's not interested in the glass that carries the mayonnaise. He's interested in the mayonnaise. So the jar itself, when it's sold to you, it's only sold to you without, you know, without any addition to the mayonnaise, but it's only as a way of a conduit of getting you the mayonnaise. And therefore, you, when you decide, you know, this is so true for broiling falls and all those kind of, you know, for pans and so forth and so on, who takes them to the mikveh? I'm sure there are those who do, but I don't. And the reason is because if I decide that I want to make it into a kli, so I'm Jewish, I don't have to be tovel them. When the guy sold it to me, I didn't have any intention of setting up a shame kli, nor did he. So therefore, the Ravid is very perplexed, right? But the answer perhaps to the Ravid's question is that when it comes to Trum Shabbos, you can't tell me that just because his interest is in carrying the water from place to place with the chavis, and the chavis is secondary, therefore it's batel, I would never say such a thing. Now, lach of bittel only applies where you need a person's kavana to create a molacha or to create a shem kli and tuma vitara. But as far as whether or not he's carrying A, the mayim that's in the kli, and B, the kli itself, this beautiful chavis, as who knows what it's worth on the market, is then I would say is keragli abaylim, and therefore there's a problem of tchum. Well, let's see the Ravid's answer. The Ravid says, "Shedin hakeli shebatel legabei ochel." In Shabbos, when we say that the kli itself is batel to the ochel, ve'afilu pachas mikashir, and that applies even if the ochel is less than a shir. That's why he's batel for the otzah vis-a-vis the ochlin. Nemar din ze biofen shal ochel chashiv yose me'akli. I call this an ukimta, but tell me if you think I'm wrong, because I don't like to accuse the Ravid of an ukimta. But the Ravid's saying that the ochel is worth more than the kli. Again, I'll read the language of the Ravid. The Ravid says, ochel chashiv yose me'akli. K'mochein chai chashiv yose me'amita. Avol mayim enom yoser chashuv me'achavis. Again, even though he's only using the chavis to transport the mayim, but nevertheless the chavis is more chashiv than the mayim. And all those sugyas in the Mishnah in Shabbos are talking about cases where the ochel is more chashiv than the kli, and the chai is more chashiv than the mita. Now again, in the case of chai, I can understand the Ravid's logic, because, you know, you have a human being, and certainly the mitah, you know, even if it's a fancy bed and you pay 1,000 shekel for the bed, but nevertheless the chai is more chosh. That I understand. If you ask me which is more chashiv, the chavis or the mayim, I would grant the Ravid his premise that the mayim is not as chashiv as the kli, as the chavis. But in the case of ochel, and we're talking about ochel pachas mikashir, I mean, again, if he's starving in a desert, you know, and he, you know, the mayim of Rabbi Akiva and Ben Petura, I understand the ochel is more important than the kli. But if you're talking about a normal case, an average situation, I don't know. Do I have to assume that the mayim objectively, I'm sorry, that the ochel pachas mikashir objectively is considered more chashiv than the kli? But that's the Ravid's assumption. Now again, this Ravid is quoted by the Rashba, and the Rashba says the following: Harei a Mishnah Sham, meaning the Mishnah in Shabbos, ain't a mechalekes bein kli chashuv meha ochel bein ochel chashuv meha kli. He says, when we learn a Mishnah, the Rashba says, against the Ravid, we should learn it b'stama, and that means that if the Mishnah doesn't qualify with a Bamedvar Mamurim, then we assume it's unqualified. Did the Mishnah make that stipulation that you're potter because the Ochel is more kosher than the Kli? Again, I'll read his language. Ein HaMishnah Mechalekes Bein Kli Shechoshev Me'a Ochel Bein Ochel Choshev Me'a Kli. So you're adding a stipulation, a restriction, Ravid, that we're talking about a case where the Ochel is worth or is more kosher than the Kli. The statement, the Mishnah didn't make that comment. The implication of the Mishnah is that even if Lu Yitzur, the Chavis, or the Kli, is more Chashiv than the Ochel, nevertheless you'd be Potter. Mashma, again the language of the Rashba, Sha'af Ksha Kli Chashiv Me'a Ochel, Eino Chayav Al HaKli. Even though, again, the Kli is more Chashiv than the Ochel, against the Ravid. So now, once again, we have to give some sort of explanation here. So the note here in the Masifta quotes the Ritva. He says, "Kosva Ritva, Chachamim Sovrim Sha'omnam Midin Torah Kli Batel Legabia Ochel." As far as the Torah law is concerned, the Kli is Batel Legabia Ochel. And I assume he's, again, I'm sorry that I'm reading into the Ritva, but I think he's activating the principle of Leches Machshavos, that the Kli is batel to the Ochel, because in Meleches Hotzah, what is he interested in relocating? He's not interested in relocating the Kli, he's interested in relocating the Ochel. You know, he has, you know, a meal to serve over there, at Rishus HaYochid, at Rishus HaRab, wherever it is, and therefore he's transporting the Ochel. So that's okay on a Doraisa level, and we're going to apply the principle that the Kli is bottled to the Ochel, because he's not interested in the Kli. His Hotzah, in his, you know, phenomenological motivation, is on the Ochel, not on the Kli. Says the Ritva, Aval lo hutar lo hotzi lechatchila Ochlin pachos mikashir bekli. He says that on a Drabbanan level, again, he's adding a great deal to the Mishnah. But again, the Mishnah only says pot. Whenever the Mishnah says pot, we assume pot aval os. So the Ritva is activating that principle of pot aval os, meaning rabbinically it's prohibited. Even though, again, there are two strikes against you here. Number one, the Ochlin is pachos mikashir. And number two, he's carrying the Kli. I'm sorry. And number two, the Kli is bottled to the Ochel. So again, there are two reasons here why there's no violation of Hotzah, and yet the Rabbanon prohibited Lechatchila. Number one, there's no Hotzah because the Kli is bottled to the Ochel. Number two, the Ochel themselves are Pachas Mikashir. Nevertheless, it's also Lechatchila to carry Ochlin Pachos Mikashir in order to relocate the Ochlin out there in Rishus HaRabim, from a Rishus HaYachid when you carry this kli. So the Rabbanan are now going to apply like a double shvus. You know, they're going to pile up one shvus on top of the other. One shvus is going to say that even pox mixture, you're not allowed to carry from Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaRav. And number two, even in another shvus, even in a case where the kli is a bottle dicker kli, because his kavan is not on the kli, nevertheless the Rabbanan are going to ask him. He says, an afkamina is going to be le'inyan isa tchumin. He says that le'inyan isa tchumin gozru chachamim shekli ze shebatel le'mayim ye'osr lo tzio chutz le'tchumo. Fantastic. The Ritva is giving us a new insight into the machlok shin Rabbi Yehuda and the chachamim. Rabbi Yehuda is going to allow you in a case of mayim shalokanu shvisa that you poured into a chavis on Shabbos to transport the chavis outside of the tchum. And he's going to apply the principle that just like we saw in Shabbos, the kli is batel to the mayim. And if the kli is no longer limited by the original tchum of the shvisas raglei abaylim, because the mayim is the ikar here. And the kli is tofel. Come along the Chachamim, they say, you know what, you're right, Rabbi Yehuda, in a theoretical world on a Doraisa level. But now we have to deal with a Gzera Chachamim. And the Chachamim are not going to allow you to apply the principle of Bittul and say the Kli is Bittul in order to permit you to carry this Kli out to Rishus HaRav on Shabbos because you have the contents in the Kli and the contents of the Kli are the Ikar. We're not going to rely on this Halacha Bittul, and the Chachamim are going to make a Gzera. If that be the case, if the Chacham are interested in undermining the law of Bittul and its mechanics because of Gzeira, then the same thing should apply to Isur Tchumen. And that means that the Chacham are not going to allow you to apply the principle of Bittul and carry the Kli, the Chavis, Chutz L'Tchum, because it's Bittul to the mind. On a Gzeira D'Rabbanan level, we never found any sort of heter, any sort of precedent for such a leniency. Now, again, if I were writing the footnotes on the Ritva, I would be tempted to write the following footnote, that the Ritva is assuming that the Isa Tchumen is Doraisa, and the Rabbanan are going to be afraid in certain circumstances that if technically there's no Isa Chutz L'Tchum, you might come to be lenient even in a case of bona fide Doraisa Chutz L'Tchum, the Rabbanan are going to apply a Gzera. So, for example, if we allow you, according to Chachamim's thinking, to carry the chavis chutz l'tchum because it's got mayim shalokanu shvisa in the chavis, and therefore we're going to apply the principle of what? Of bittul. Although on a Doraisa level that certainly would be okay. Technically he's not violating the isur chutz l'tchum because the chavis is betela to the mayim. But you know what? Tomorrow you're going to carry out a chavis chutz l'tchum when there's no water inside. And here the Rabbanan have to make a gzera of lob of bittul atu lo bittul, meaning they're going to say that we're not going to rely on bittul because we're afraid that you'll rely on this heter even when there's no bittul. And we saw that in Shabbos, and I'm going to apply that in the case of chutz l'tchum. That's the Ritva l'fi ani yistaiti, if I'm reading it correctly. And that, in my humble opinion, again, don't record what I'm saying, but in that sense, I think the Ritva is one up it on the Ravid. The Ravid is based on the fact that the Mishnah in Shabbos is talking about a case where the Ochlin are more chashiv than the Kli, than the utensil that you're using to carry and transport the Ochlin inside. And as the Rashba says, where did we see that distinction? Where did we see that limitation? The implication of the Mishnah is that even if Luyitzuyer, the Kli is more chashiv than the Mayim, than the Ochlim, there's no violation of Shabbos. Therefore, frontal stage, we invite the Ritva. The Ritva already takes us on a different pattern. And the Ritva wants to know, although there is a din of Bittul on a Doraisa level, admit to me on a Drabana level, we're not going to allow you to carry the Ochlin and the Kli because you're carrying the Kli and the Kli is not Bittul, even though the Kli is Bittul. And it is batel because of Halacha Melechus Machshavos. But nevertheless, we have to be afraid that tomorrow he might be tempted to think, oh, we're bringing out Kalim from Rishus HaYachid, which is Ram carte blanche, And what difference does it make if there's anything inside the kli or not inside the kli? So Rabbanan instituted this gzeira, in which they nullify and ignore the principle of bittul. And if that be the case, let's apply that logically to the tchumen business as well. Now the last piece here, he quotes one of the great achronim on Masechta Erev, and that's the Gaon Yaakov. And he writes, Rabbanan sovrim b'mishnah, that's our mishnah of tchumen, shelo tahalech achovis, that he's not allowed to carry the chavis with the mayim into it, according to the Rabbanan chutz l'tchum, mishum shegam b'kli potter avol osr. So even as far as the kli is concerned, when you go back to the case of otzah, the Mishnah only says that you're potter, although you carry the kli from Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRam, you're potter, and that implies potter avol osr. Oh, now about Tchumen. So I insisted that Tchumen is Doraisa. He says, the af she Tchumen derabbanan osru zos. V'Rabbi Yehuda says, ba'otza Doraisa gozer, avu b'tchumen derabbanan lo gozer. This mamish completes the whole picture. So the Gaon Yaakov wants to suggest that the machlokus between Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan in our Mishnah revolves around the following question. Should we make a distinction between Doraisas and the Rabbanans? The Chachamim argue that since in the case of Hotzas HaKli, which has Ochlin in it, the Halach is Potter Aval Asur, and the Rabbanan stepped in and they prohibited carrying the Kli that has Ochlin in it from Rosh Hashayach to Rosh Hasharabim, and that's because we're afraid of a violation of Otzah Doraisa, the Rabbanan want to extrapolate from that that even in Tchumen Derabbanan, we're going to go a step further with this gzera. We're going to say that if you're carrying the Chavis Chutz L'Tchum, it's prohibited, Midrabbanan, despite the fact that the Chavis is Betela to the Ochlin. And we're going to apply this principle of Potter Aval Asur, meaning that kind of a gzera, and we're going to vitiate the principle of bittul, even for an isur derabbanan, tchumen isur derabbanan. And here's where Rabbi Yehuda gets up and he protests. How can you make that analogy? How can you make that leap of faith and equate a doraisa of hotzah, where the rabbanan are afraid that you might violate a biblical malacha doraisa chiyuv skila, to the case of tchumen, which are only derabbanan? And here, automatically, obviously, the mind just wanders to the sugis of gzera l'gzera. Meaning, to the Rabbanan, when they set up gzeros on a doraisa level, because you might come to violate a doraisa, do we now apply that same gzera to a situation where maximum, in the worst case scenario, you might be guilty of violating a Rabbanan? I mean, we'd have to learn sugyas in Basar B'chala for this, you know, Basar Of B'chala and things like that. So would there be an Isra Allah ala Shulchan of Basar Of B'chala? You know, that kind of sugya. And the reason for this is that the Isra Allah is the Rabbanan, the Isra Basar Of B'chala, we pass like Rabbi Yosef Eglu is the Rabbanan, and now you're combining two Rabbanan. So the Gemara goes through a whole rigmarole to figure out if that's called Gzera L'Gzera or not. And here also, it seems that what the Rabbanan are arguing is that once the precedent was set of a gzera derabbanan to null and void bittul, meaning we're never going to say that the kli on a derabbanan level is batel to the contents of the kli, we have to apply that straight across the board, even to tchumen derabbanan. And we have no right and no legitimate ability to legally differentiate between a Doraisa and a Rabbanan, because it's a separate gzera to undermine the mechanics of bittul. And Rabbi Yehuda says, makes no sense whatsoever. I object. I accuse. How can you say such a thing? Every gzera has to be defined in its context as to what, in the maximum worst catastrophe violation, would he be guilty of. And in the case of Shabbos, there's a possibility that tomorrow he's going to carry out a kli without any elchlin in it, and he'll violate a malacha d'oraisa with a chiyuv chatas. But not so in the case of Tchumen of the Rabban. So what's the worst catastrophe? If he carries out a kli chutz l'tchum, he violated the Rabban. So for that, you're going to make a gzera, and you're going to prohibit taking this kli, this chavis, mi chutz l'tchum, and you're going to null and void the halach, the mechanics of bittul. Atu what? Atu a gzera of a violation of Tchum in the Rabbanan. That far, Rabbi Yehuda says, I will not. I want to go back for a moment to the distinction between mayim that are bifnei atzman, in other words, he's carrying the chavis with mayim in it, and the case of mayim that are betelim bekidera. And the question that the Ritva raises is, why did Levi Sava make what we think is a mistake in understanding Rabbi Yehuda? He interpreted our Mishnah like Rabbi Yehuda, and we're talking about mayim that are unto themselves, they're not batel. How could he equate that with the case of the mayim be'iso, which is nivla, and it's not be'en, and there there's bittul? So the Ritva says that Levi Sava, in the case of mayim be'isa, he thinks that the mayim be'isa is what you call a mamid. In other words, you can't have dough without water, so the water gives the dough its structure. And therefore, even if it's mixed inside the isa, the mayim is considered choshev. It's like omei bifnei atzma. Why? Because it's a davar mamid. And therefore it's not batel. A davar mamid is not batel. So since Rabbi Yehuda in the Braisa said that mayim u'melach are betelim in the Isa, it must be that he holds that mayim, even when it's be'en, is ein bo mamish. Likno shvisa. It's not kona shvisa. Therefore, even if they are chashuvim and ikarim bifnei atzman, like in the case of the Isa, we see it as if they are chashuvim and ikarim bifnei atzman, and yet it's not kona shvisa, because Rabbi Yehuda in the end of Beitza says ein bein mamish, and we can equate that to the case of mayim in the chavis. And when it says in the Sefer that the mayim is not batel in the keder because of the rotev, the reason for that is because the water that a person puts into a tavshil are chashuvim yoser, they're more significant, and yesh bein mamish. Now, beyond that Ritva, we have Mayim Shenismalu Hayom, Mayim that was taken today from a Mayan or from a Nohar, and we say it's Harein Kiragli Kol Odom. And that was a brace that we had back on Daf Mem Vav, that Naharos HaMoshkim, Mayanos HaNovim, Harein Kiragli Kol Odom. So if a person fills up something on Shabbos or Yontif, even though they are shaykh to the mayanos of somebody else, let's say Reuven took from the mayan of Shimon, nevertheless, since they are in motion, the water is always nav and nud, they're not kona shvisa b'mkomon on behalf of the person who technically owns the mayan. And the Rishonim argue, what is kiragle kol adam with regard to this kind of mayim? According to Tosfos, it means the mayim on nigrorim achra mamalia rishon. Whoever gets there first to draw the water from the spring, the mayim are schlepped along with him and limited to his raglayim. And even if he would give the water over to someone else, it would not be nigra basra sheni, but rather it still remains within the tchum of the rishon. That's Tosfos Shita, Divrei Maskal Hocha. But Rashi in Masechta Beitza says ein lem shvisa klal, which means that anyone who gets a hold of this water that was drawn from the spring is molicho karaglov b'makom she'ire. If he could take it wherever is within his chum Shabbos, wherever he sets up his air. Now, one last point that we want to add over here is that we said that in the Mishnah in Shabbos on Daf Tzadigimel Mitbeis, in the case where he takes a mita with a chai on it out from Rishus Aram to Rishus HaYochid, or the other way around. So he's mekilas atzmo al nosov v'noseas atzmo, that the reason why you're not chai for carrying the chai is because he makes it easier and lighter, so to speak, for the people who are carrying him. It's like he's carrying himself. Rashi in Shabbos, however, says that the reason why you're potter, based on this principle called chai noseas atzmo, is because all of the chiyuvei melachos Shabbos are derived from the Mishkan, and the melachos of Mishkan, they weren't carrying anything alive, anything animate. The tchashim and the elim from which they made the Mishkan were holchim biraglehem. They walked on their own 2 feet, no one carried them. The chilazim from which they made the dye for the tchelis and the Mishkan, they were potzim osom kona Shabbos, because the tseva is clearer when there's an neshama, so they wanted to make sure that they could extract the blood of the chilazon before Shabbos, and that would give them a high quality tcheles. And all this is explained in the Gemara Daf Ayin Hey in Shabbos. Therefore, hamotzi davar chai is potter, because in the Mishkan we don't have a case of carrying something aloft. Now, Tosus in Shabbos and Daf Tzadi Dalid seems to support this position of Rashi, but the Tosa Rush there asks the following kash. The Gemara tells us that the reason why Achai Nosei Esatz is not because they didn't carry the Chai in the Mishkan. Nowhere does the Gemara give that indication. And furthermore, we don't need that the Meleches Otzah has to be exactly equivalent to the way they did Otzah in the Mishkan. Should we say they call it from Shavu Gimel Otzim Mishkan? Only those things that they would carry in the Mishkan, only there would you be chai for Otzah. But you just need to derive from the Mishkan the concept of Otzah. So the Tosa Rush offers another explanation. He says the Ptur of chai nosi sasu, because nechshavim shnaim shasu molocha biyachad. So in effect, it's like 2 people participating in the molocha together. And shnaim shasu pturim in Shabbos. So we're going to stop here. We're up to on Daf Tzadi Zayin Amud Beis Mosiv Rav Yosef, which is 2 lines down in the wide lines on the bottom of Tzadi Zayin Amud Beis.